happy to be here, and I'm glad you're here in the house. And those of you who are tuning in via Facebook, YouTube, and the other apps, streaming apps that we have through our website. And I encourage you, please share this. If it means something to you and you believe you're getting something out of it, please share it with your Facebook family, your YouTube, Instagram family, to allow them, because they may never come into the building, but they know you, and by knowing you, they get an opportunity to get to hear some of the things God has to say. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity for us to be before you, Father God. We ask that everything that is spoken here today, let it not be nothing of ourselves, but everything of you, Father God. Enlighten us with your Holy Spirit, Father God. Make us in tune with you, Father God. Help us walk according to your will, not our will, Father God. Make our crooked paths straight, Father God, that only you can do, Father. Let your will be done in our lives, Father God, because we are here today submitting ourselves to you and what you desire for our lives, Father God. Make it clear for us, Father God, so we can make it plain and run with it. And we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, the house say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're still on the book of Proverbs, and we're going to continue in chapter 22. And I'm real excited about closing this part out so we can continue to move forward. God is doing something awesome around here. He's really moving on the hearts of the people. And for everybody here, you out there, I'm glad you're here, because you could have been doing anything else, but you chose to be here, you know. And it's not always easy, because sometimes we got to press to get to the place that God is trying to call us to, you know. And what I say to people, get excited. Get excited about what God is about to do, you know, because if you press and you know there's something trying to keep you from making, God got to have an expectation for something that God is going to do in your life. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I say it all the time. I'm excited for what God has in store. You know, I don't know what it is, but I know it's going to be good. You know, and I tell the body of Christ, if you're running after God, get excited, because he got something in store for you. He has something in store for you. Amen? I see my brother here today. I know he pressed. I know he press. Believe you me, you're going to get something today. So we're going to jump into this here. We're going to go to number 5, and I think we touched on it last week, where it said, train children in God's way. Train children in God's way. On 22. Oh, the other one got something here? If someone could make, I got one copy here. If someone can make a copy of this one, thank you. I just printed the copies and I thought it had it all right, but it didn't. I'm sorry, forgive me. But if you were here last week, it's the same one from last week. And I gave away all my original copies. But it says here, train up a child in the way he should go. And that comes from Proverbs 22:6. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, and that's so exciting, you know, because I can remember just growing up and getting in some issues, and I can remember my mom pulling out the children's Bible. She's pulling out the children's Bible. One of our sisters came in here today, and our son has her Bible with him. You know, he got his own little Bible with him, and it's exciting to see that, because even as a young man, I can remember it had picture illustrations in it. You know, it wasn't a lot of words. It had big words in it, but it had a lot of picture illustrations in it. So you got to understand or get to know about the characters, you know. And unfortunately, being young, you really don't understand the complexities of the story. But you kind of look at them almost like superheroes and stuff like that, the way they show Moses parting the Red Sea and all that stuff. But you don't really fully understand the story, you know. But it's so important to give them that foundation to know about the Word of God. And here it says, and the Bible I have is a study Bible, and it says, a prescription for rearing children. It says, this verse reveals two ingredients in the prescription of rearing children. First, the command, train up a child in the way he should go. And the second one is the promise. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So we got a command and then a promise. And isn't that awesome about God? He gives us direction, but he also gives us a promise in the direction that we go. You know? And it says here, it says, the command involves three parts. The concept of training, train up. This does not denote corporal punishment, but rather includes three ideas. Dedication, this is the consistent meaning of the words in the Old Testament, other Old Testament occurrences. Deuteronomy 25 and on page 379 in Kings, a couple of scriptures here it's based on. And it says, child training must begin with dedication to of a child of God. The parent must realize that the child belongs exclusively to God and is given to the parents only as a stewardship. You know, and I think about that, and I can remember, I know my mom gave me to God because, and she was praying for me, covering me during those times where I wasn't praying and doing anything for myself. And it's so important. And we read about, I believe it's not, is it Esther who gave up her son? Hannah who gave up her son. She's, because she couldn't have a kid, and she used to get tormented about it and all types of things. And she made a promise. She said, Lord, if you give me that child, I'm going to give him to you. You know, and this is how we honor God. And she honored God, and we know Samuel came out, he became one of the best prophets or the biggest prophets that we talk about, you know. But she made a commitment. She dedicated her son to him. And this is what we're talking about, dedicating our children. When you dedicate your child, you're dedicating your child to God. You're committing him to God, you know, and you're giving him to God to cover him. You know, and like this here says, we just have stewardship. God has given us stewardship while they're here, while they're young, to help rear them up here on the earth. And it says here, instruction. This is the meaning of this word as it is used in the Jewish writings. The parents are to instruct and cause their children to learn everything essential to and pleasing God. Motivation. This is the meaning of the word in Arabic, as it is used to describe the action of the midwife who simulates and palates of the newborn babe so it would take nourishment. Parents are to create a taste and a desire within a child so that he is eternally motivated rather than externally compelled to do what God wants him to do. So our job is from young is to instill in them their relationship with God, to lay the foundation for them. You know, I think about growing up myself in my godmother, she was Baptist, and she used to take us to church all the time. And I can remember being scared to go to church with her because my godmother, she used to catch the Holy Ghost. And she used to pass out sometimes. But being young, you don't understand what's happening. And no one explains it to you. All you know is every time we go to church, mama, she passing out and you scared, you know. But later on, I learned what was happening. That she was praising God. She was in the spirit because she watched God cover my God brother, my God sister, and all those things that was happening in her life as an adult that we don't know. You know, and that's why it's important for us to, there's some things we should be telling our kids to give them some understanding so they have some sense of understanding. You know, you can't give them everything because they're not old enough to really comprehend, but you got to give them understanding on why some of the things are happening. Because if they seeing it, they're gonna come with their own interpretation. So it's up to us to give them the right interpretation up until their knowledge. You know, you can't tell them everything or, wow, this is what happened. I'm praising God because your cousin almost got shot, but he didn't. He got shot, but he didn't die. You know, different things like that. But you give them an understanding as to why. You know, because for me, I was scared. I was scared to death. I didn't want to go to church because I knew I go to church. Mama, she gonna fall out of church, you know, and it became a scary thing for me, and we don't want that for our children. We want them to understand, look, this is a way of worshiping and praising God, and that's what was happening here. So the instruction and the motivation is important for a parent to do for the children, to compel them to want to follow what God is calling them to do. And me, it says, recipient of training, a child. This is one of seven Hebrew words translated by the English word child and would better be translated by the word dependent. As long as a child is dependent on the parents, he is to be a recipient of training, regardless of his age. Pastor Ray, he shared this, and this is no secret. He shared this amongst the congregation where he was struggling with his son, and God said, he was like, I ain't going to deal with this no more. And God said, he's still your son. He's still your son. It don't change nothing. He's still your son. And what happens is, and I was sharing with the young lady earlier today that I'm one of six, and I watched my mom go through some of the stuff that me and my brothers were dealing with and going through, but I really didn't understand what she was going through. And I really didn't get a picture of it until I watched my wife with our son. And as I was saying, our son is nowhere near like me and my brothers were, you know. And I watched her pain, and I watched her worry and her concern over her son, our son, and his decisions, you know. And I just pictured how much of a weight it was for my mother. You know, and for us, and it goes for all of us, because each one of us got our own story, you know, and sometimes we don't realize the weight that we're putting on our parents and our decision making and some of the things that we're doing, because we don't see it in that light. And now some of us here are adults and we got our own children, and God willing, they don't put us through some of the things we put our parents through, amen? You know, and it gives you a different insight. It gives you a different insight, and that's why it's so important for us as a body of Christ to really rear up our children, to give them the word, give them something that we might not have. Not that we didn't have the word, but didn't have an understanding of the word. Give them the understanding up until their age so they can comprehend it, you know, because then they can't say nobody ain't telling. I had a conversation with my nephew the other day. I said, look, you ain't going to have the excuse that nobody ain't telling you. It's going to be about you making a choice. I told him, I said, God dealt with me. I was making a whole bunch of excuses. He told me, you still had a choice, and showed me every opportunity that I had an opportunity to do it differently. You know, and that's what our responsibility is as parents and guardians, to speak into the children's life. You know, what we know. You can't speak something you don't know. And that's why it's important for us to be in the Word, so we can give them what God has given us to give them. Amen? And it says here, number C, the content of training in the way that he should go. The thought is that at each stage of his development, the parent or guardians are to dedicate, instruct, and motivate the child to do what God evidently has best equipped the child to do for him. This is graphically illustrated by Joshua when he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If the command has been kept, the promise can be claimed. The promise includes the time of realization when he is old. This is the best understood as being parallel with the child. Hence, when he is independent, i.e. no longer economically dependent upon his parents, referring to the time when he leaves their home and establishes his home. The promise includes the certainty of realization that he will not depart from it. If the command has been kept, and the promise will be realized. If the command has not been kept, the promise will not be realized. Rearing children is not an overnight occurrence. It takes careful forethought and conscious obedience on the part of the parents. Man, that was just one statement, but it had so much power in it. You know, because God has given us a promise that if we give him the word, we give our children the word, he's letting us know that it will not depart from him. And that's why it's so important for us to know the word for ourselves so we can pass it on. Because you can't give what you don't know. You can't give what you don't know. You know, and we see so many families, so many children struggling because they weren't given something because the parents didn't know. You know, and that's why it's so important for us as parents to guide our children as best as possible. You know, it's so important for us to do that. And it says here, it says, start children off in the way that he should go, even when he's old, and not depart from them. Early instruction lesson. Early instruction in truth sets the foundation for life. Early instruction in truth sets the foundation in life. And it says, pour into children early with love, discipline, and godly teaching. How y'all feel about discipline nowadays? What do y'all think about this 21st century discipline compared to when we were growing up in the 70s and the 60s? Come on, come on, come up here, say it again. Say it so the audience can hear you over here in the mic.
It's barely any discipline.
It's barely any. Now, why do you think it's barely any discipline? So, question for you. So, how do we, as God-fearing parents, rear our kids and still keep discipline in place? How do we set ourselves apart and not become a part of what the world is? I got you. Anybody else want to share on that? You know, come on up. You know, it's because this is a tough place right where we're at in society, because the world will tell us certain discipline becomes illegal. Now, you got kids calling police on parents saying, or going to school, and even teachers reporting on parents. You know, a kid got a bruise, man. My mom gave me bruises in school back then. Come on, Dad. No, how can we, and with our Christian foundation, continue to keep discipline in our household in spite of what society is saying about discipline?
I believe definitely stand in the presence of God and keep the way I was taught. Sorry to go ahead, but in Proverbs 23, verse 13, it says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with a rod, they will not die. So that's how I view it, and I train. Like, I teach my son the Bible, and I train him up in the way that God wants him to take him. No matter how I'm feeling or what the world says, because of my gentle parenting. I tried it. It don't work. It don't work. So I just try to hold on.
You know, it's funny you say that, because see, even with the rod, it didn't work, you know? So I got the rod, but I still did what I wanted to do, you know? But there was an understanding. There was an understanding that there were consequences. See, that gentle teaching, I can deal with that. That's nothing, you know? But when it came to those physical consequences, you ain't want those, you know. And that's what God said. He's saying, look, they ain't gonna die from it, you know, because you ain't beating them to cause their demise. You're beating them to give them discipline, to let them know there's consequences for your action. Do the world discipline us when we make a mistake? So why can't we as parents not discipline our children? See, they want us to allow our children to just do what they want to do so they can take control. And that's what God said. We have to take control of our household. Yeah.
In the corner, so I'll be doing that with them sometimes, because it's like, okay, the rod, the physical rod, it's not going to always get to a play. Let me try something different, because kids, they need consistency. If you just tell them one or two times, they're not going to get it, and so you got to constantly stay on them.
Yes. You know, that's, it's just like us, you know, we need some consistency, you know, before we get it. Come on.
Have to follow what he was saying, follow the word. God's example. God says he chases whom he loves.
So he is going to correct us as his children. Why would we not follow his example and correct our children? And as far as the gentle parenting, I heard something a long time ago, and when I first heard it, it didn't really register. But the older I got and the more that I dealt with people and lived in prisons and everything else, I realized it's a truism. They said that when we put our kids on time out, we're preparing them for time in jail.
Mm. You know, that resonated with me, you know, because that's what happens to us, and me being someone who spent time in prison, that was a time out for us, and it meant 23 hours on lockdown, and no contact, and you couldn't do nothing, you know, you was, Yeah, you separated, you're isolated, you know, and that's a mental break. That's a mental break.
Yeah. Even when I'm learning is that the students said, because even though they're children, they're innocent, and the enemy can still come in and try to move their minds, like when they're angry,
yes.
And they're in timeout, the enemy can be talking to them. That's huge, you know what I'm saying? So like, and then like, frustrated and they don't know how to control their emotions or even interpret them, and that can lead them to do something else within a lot of time out. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Because what happens is that anger, and I never really experienced it until I started working here at Harvest. And I see 2-year-old anger issues. No, it wasn't tense tantrums. It was anger. I mean, out of control anger with rage. And I'm like, 2 years old. Why? You know, in some of his examples, what you see, you know, and that aggression that they might have seen, and that's how they express themselves. So it's a learned behavior. You know, so the same way, teach a child the way you should go. And that's what it said right here. It says, rearing children is not an overnight occurrence. Think carefully. And it says, if the command is kept, the promise will be realized. If the command has not been kept, the promise will not be realized. So that's meaning if you ain't giving him the word, you ain't giving him a foundation, he ain't going to know the way he can go, because he ain't got no word on. He ain't got nothing to grab hold of. You know, that's why I thank God for Harvest, because we have an opportunity to give the kids word. So even if they go into an environment that might not have the word consistently, they're getting it here where they can carry it home. You know, we had some kids and the parents coming back and they're like, our kids telling us, let's pray before we eat. You know, because it's a habit that they do here. So they're like, we're doing it at school. Let's do it at home. You know, and some parents appreciate that. You know, and that's why it's important for us to lay down that foundation. It says, pour into your children early with love, discipline, and godly teaching. Love. And you see that first one. Love was first. Love was first. And even in discipline, you let them know, listen, this is not what I want to do, but these are the consequences of your action, not my action. These are your actions, because I told you don't do this over and over again, but you continue to do what you wanted to do. Now, these are the consequences. Come on. I see it bubbling up.
I think a lot of it comes from, as parents, we have to set an expectation.
Yeah.
And that as well, because a lot of us end up disappointed because we are sad when an unspoken expectation is met. But when we tell the child, you know, this is what's expected of you, and these are the boundaries, and if you cross them, there's going to be a consequence. You can't get mad at them for something you've never told them was wrong.
Wow. Ooh, you know, that just went across a whole lot of platforms. You know, because this is what happens in relationships. And this is why God has given us boundaries. He set the standards. He set the foundation for us. He told us this is how we should go. This is what we should do. And this is the expectation. You know, and too often, like you said, even with our children, with our spouses, in relationship with family, we're not setting those expectations. And then when it's crossed, now we're crossed. But we never set the foundation. So I don't know why I offended you, because you never told me that this bothered you. You know, and that's why it's so important for us to be honest about it. A part of it too is some things definitely deal with relationships. Sometimes we don't even know some of the things that really bother us. You know, it becomes a trigger, you know, and some of it comes from past things in our past, you know, that just triggers something that's a reminder that caused you to feel a certain way. You know, and that's why we have to be conscious of one another. And I was sharing with someone today is, even when we have those differences, being able to recognize, is that intentional or is that in love? Because you know if someone is doing something really to try to hurt you, but if someone's doing something that they don't realize they're doing it, but they never have no intention of hurting you. And that's the part where having open communication and being able to let that person know, look, this has offended me. This is something that bothered me. Can you understand that? This is a boundary. Let's understand that amongst each other. You know, but if you don't communicate that, it happens over and over again. You know, and then it becomes an offense to you, but you never told the person something about it. Amen. Number six. The borrower becomes a slave to the lender. Man, oh man, that's a powerful one. Who believe God wants us to be borrowers? Mm-hmm. He don't want us to be borrowers. No. Uh-huh. He said we're supposed to have dominion. So if you're in a position of dominion, that sounds like an owner to me. That sounds like a person of authority. And it says here in verse 7, it says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. And the lesson says, debt limits freedom and creates bondage. Debt limits freedom and creates bondage. And sometimes we don't even realize the bondages that we're under. In different types of debt. And sometimes debt is just not financial. You can get in debt with relationships. You know, you find yourself bound in a relationship that's holding you down because the person that you with is study doing something. You ain't even doing it wrong. It's the person that you with don't have no boundaries with finances and stuff. And now because you're connected, now you're going down that rabbit hole with. You're being dragged down. And it says here, it says, live wisely with money. Avoid debt when possible and practice contentment. Practice contentment. I was sharing earlier, being away, I was murmuring and complaining because I seen other people have more than I had. You know, I can remember as a young man, my auntie lived in the projects, and I lived in the projects. She lived in Brownsville, I lived in East New York, they're two different parts of Brooklyn. But when I went to her apartment, her apartment had a little bit more than our apartment had. And I used to always want to go to auntie house, because I thought they had more than what we had. You know, and what happened was, that same family, my auntie, they wound up living with us at one point. You know, and sometimes we don't appreciate what we have. And if you don't appreciate what you have, how can God give you more? You know, with our own children, if you buy your child a toy that he's been asking for and begging for, and then the next thing you know, you see that toy on the floor, he ain't even played with it in about a month. And then he telling you, could you give me another toy similar to it, but it's at another level? Are you going to buy him that toy? You going to give him that toy? No, because he ain't even showing no appreciation for what you already spent money for. And that's the same thing God has for us. He said, be content with what you got. You know, you ain't got to get that Lexus, that Honda you got, you own it, and it's still got mileage to go. Why you want to go get in debt for that Lexus? Because you can get it, but now you're putting yourself more in debt where you can use that money to start saving and building for something else. Be content. We got to learn contentment. That's so important. And we're going to be having this class August 5th. I'll be a part of it, so I'll teach you about being content, how to manage your money. Okay, what's your question? You know, and that's dealing with the parables. The parables of the coins that the Lord gave the people when people one went and allowed it to get more, and then one he hid it. You know, worried about what's the consequences if he loses it. You know, and too often we try to hold tight to stuff. And God said, look, I'm the maker of it all. Trust me. And I'm guilty of it too, because he's giving me some ideas. I'd be like, Lord, make me a millionaire. And he gave me some $1 million ideas, and I've been scared to let go of my little coins. And I watch other people become millionaires around me. But I told my son, we're going to become millionaires. I'm telling you, this is our season coming. We're going to be millionaires. And it's not just to say I'm a millionaire. It's going to be the access I'm going to be able to distribute to do God's work. That's what it's about. You know, that's what it's about. It's not about just to have it for yourself. It's what you're able to do with it for others. And that's the blessing. That's where it's at. Amen? Number 7, it says, sow righteousness and reap blessings. Sow righteousness and reap blessings. Verse 8 says, whoever sows injustice reaps calamity. And the rod, they will, in fury, will be broken. You know, we live in a society right now where we see people doing so much unrighteousness, and it seems, you heard what I said? It seems like they're prospering and they're doing good. You know, see, but we don't know the cross that they're carrying. We don't know. You know, and that's why it's so important for, don't worry about what somebody, you stand on righteousness. You stand on God's truth. Don't worry about somebody else. Because see, what happens is, you don't wind up compromising to be where they're at. See, because the enemy knows your desires. He knows what you want. And he will present something to you to compromise your righteousness. Oh, you know, I was watching something today on YouTube, just scrolling through, and this guy said, he walked up to this young lady and said, here, I want to give you this. I just want you to say, I love the devil. Just like that. He said, I'm going to give you this $1,000. Just say, I love the devil. She was like, no, I'm not going to say that because that ain't true. She said, I will not say that because that ain't true. And he said, thank you for standing on your morals and gave her $5,000. You see, the enemy will use things to have you compromise your moral integrity. He's waiting for the opportunity. And he knows our weaknesses. And that's why it's so important. When we come to God, God is looking for us to open up all the doors so he can clean the house. Yes, so he can clean the house. He want to be a housekeeper in your life. He wanted clean. But what happens is we want to keep them out of some rooms. There's some secrets that we got in there that we don't want to be exposed. And see, last week I shared, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. None. There's conviction, yes. And that's what you feel behind that door. Conviction. But there's no condemnation. And God said, open it up. Let me in. Let me clean it out. But too often we're holding on to it. The enemy saying, they're going to look at you different. They're going to feel different about you. I'm going to feel different. He beating you up in your head because that's how the world deals with us. But that's not God. That is not God. And he's saying, open up all those doors. Let me in all the rooms. Let us clean it out. Let us come new. Come on up.
I just wanted to add to what you were saying. You said there's nothing new. The Bible tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. But it also says before we even pray, God knows our prayers. So that means that he knows everything about us anyway. So if we're not transparent with him, we're not going to trust him. Because again, even when we pray, he knows what you're going to pray before you pray. So the purpose of speaking it out loud is so that it can bounce in your ear. Hearing. That's why it's effective, more effective when you pray the word back to you because it builds your faith up as well. But nothing catches God by surprise. And I'm so glad, Pastor Rob, that God is not man. And I'm so glad that God is not man because even if I did, he treated me the way I treat people sometimes, I definitely would be condemned. And if, you know, we can't expect, a lot of us humanize God. We're afraid to go to God and be real because we're afraid to deal with us the way that we
do. Oh, man, you know, we were just talking, me and somebody was just talking about that earlier today, you know, and we're thankful. I know I am, and speaking to the brother today, he's thankful because there's some things that some people tolerated from us, and mainly God tolerated from me because the world condemned me. The world condemned me. He said 25 years and you done. But God said no. He said, I got a plan for you. He said, I got a plan for you. All you got to do is trust me. Just be obedient. And that's the same thing for you. You know your story. You know what God has seen you through. You know. And that's the part you got to grab hold and get excited about what's next. Because so long as we continue to just trust him and believe and be obedient and continue to fight the fight, he got us. And there's so much more in store, so much more. Man, that's it. I was listening to something this morning, this afternoon, as I'm working around the building. And it was talking about speaking blessings. Speaking. Our words have power. Our words have power. And we got to start speaking blessings over our lives. Not just ourselves. We got to even speak blessings over our enemies. See, he said, I will make your enemies your footstool. So I will make your enemies your footstool. So we got family. We gotta stop holding on to some stuff. We gotta let it go and allow God to deal with it. He got it. We're keeping ourselves bound. He said, let it go. Speak blessings over your life. Wait, before you touch that ground, when you wake up, just speak blessings over. I'm going to have a blessed day. This job is going to be blessed. Those everybody around me going to be blessed. And even if they hurt you, you'll be like, bless you. You know, we got to speak it into existence. We got to speak into it. So a young lady came in. She, she just started working here last week. She and I was sharing what I said. I've been with Harvest for 20 years, but I've been working at the school since 2016. I left corporate America to go come to there. She was like, man, thank God. She was like, because your smile, the way you be around here, you just make you like the place up. You know, and that made me feel good, but it's not about me. It's God. I'm excited about God. Could I be upset and frustrated about some things? Yeah. Because is everything going right? No. But I'm excited about what he's doing. You know, and our lives that are being touched. You know, I shared with someone today, I said, when I was away, I asked God if he gave me an opportunity, I would do all I can to help other young men and women not have to go through our life to know who he is and who they are to him. You know, and I've been so blessed to have this opportunity. I never thought I'd be in a school where I'll be speaking from infancy to 12th grade kids, just speaking into their lives and adults as well. You know, I couldn't fathom that when I was in that cell in 1990. I couldn't think about that in 2003 when I came home. Those things, I visioned. I couldn't see myself doing what I'm doing, but you know who did see it? God seen it. He's seen it. And it's the same thing for each and every one of you. There's some things that he has in place for your life that all you got to do is begin to trust him more. You're already trusting him. You're tuning in right now. You're here. You're already on the pathway. You on the pathway, and I'm telling you, you need to get excited and keep pressing. Keep pressing. You know, I shared this week, I said, the scripture in Malachi 3:3, he's talking about God is a silversmith. And that silversmith, he's standing over the fire, not moving until all the impurities are out of that piece of metal where it turns to pure silver. And it's at the hottest point. And guess what? Not only are you over the fire, but God is right there with you. He's not moving. So everything you're going through, God is going through with you. He's right with you. And a part of it is us trusting him and knowing that he has our best interests at heart. He got our best interests at heart. It says here, sow righteousness to reap blessings. Whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they will in fury will be broken. Lesson, actions have consequences. Evil brings downfall, but righteousness brings rewards. Righteousness brings rewards. And yeah, sometimes the rewards ain't what we want it to be. But it's a reward. It's a reward. What that young lady said to me made everything I did all day to day working around this building made it work. You know, just some of the little things. Sometimes we just don't appreciate that. I was sharing with your man. He would say, I was listening to something, and the guy asked, he said, all sometimes you want is someone to say, what would you like? You know, just to see what you want. You know, just to appreciate you, to ask you that question. And he asked the young lady, what was the last time you asked your man, what does he like? And she was like, yeah, I asked him today. I asked him what he liked today. He was like, give him a call. Call him right now. And she got on the phone and called him. And the guy was like, oh, well, we at this show, and your wife, your girlfriend just said that she asked you today what you like. He's like, what? I ain't hear what I like in so long. But what happens is, just think about that. and somebody asking you, what would you like? And this is what God is asking us. He knows, like she said, there's no secrets with God. He knows all our desires. He said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I know every hair on your head. There's no secrets, even in those dark places. He was in the room with you. He knows. But he's not going to invade your space. He's quiet. He ain't going to say nothing. He ain't going to say nothing until you call out to him. Then he's going to speak to you. But we got to open ourselves up. We got to be vulnerable to him. We got to be vulnerable. And are we going to understand everything? No. No. Every time I went to that board and they told me 2 more years, I went back to myself crying. I'm like, Lord, you told me I'm going to be free. He said, you ain't ready yet. I said, you ain't ready yet. He ain't telling me what I had to do. I had to do some self-evaluating. And that's the part where we have to be honest with ourselves. We got to remove the veil. He already opened it. It's open, wide open. But we try to cover some stuff up. He knows what's hidden. Ain't nothing hidden from him. He's saying, clean it up. I help you. But I can't help you if you don't open it up. And after me going to 3 boards and finally getting free and going through some of the things I had to go through while I'm home, I can reflect now. Man, if he would have let me go back then, I surely wasn't ready. See, sometimes we think we're ready for some stuff that we ain't ready for. We ain't ready for. And God tried to protect us from ourselves. Damn. And that's what the enemy wants you to think. He wants you to think God holding back on you. But God is trying to protect you from yourself because you ain't ready for it yet. It says, walk justly. Don't manipulate or oppress. God will defend the weak. God got us. God, listen, I'm watching the news today, and I'm looking at all the turmoil happening all over. And not just here in the United States. I'm looking at the news, and I'm hearing what they're happening in Gaza. I haven't been watching news. I don't watch the news too much because it's always negative. You know, it's just so much negativity. However, and I watch out-of-state news. I watch Al Jazeera, different things like that, because it gives you a different perspective. And they're talking about how these people are starving. They are starving these people. And there's no one crying out for the innocent. You know, the church body is silent. Silent, and they're people just like us. They got different ideologies, but they're people. How could you change people if you treat people the way you say they treat you? That makes you no different than them. Sometimes even worse because you know better. And that's the sad part. But one thing we know, God already told us this time is going to come. Lovers of themselves. You know, and that's why we have to be set apart. We have to be set apart. We can't be okay with that. You know, and you got to know that it don't resonate with you. And it says here, be generous to the poor. Number 8. And it says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. It's so important for us to not to be afraid to give out of our lack. It's okay to give out your lack. See, because see, sometimes we think we ain't got enough. And you realize you got more than enough. My wife be mad at us. And my wife, she cooked like it's 8 of us in the house and there's only 3. And it's really 2 because she worked at night, so she ain't be home to eat. And me and my son, we don't eat all the food. And it sits, and then she got to throw it away, and she be mad at us, you know. But she don't like wasting. You know, and so sometimes she'd be like, I ain't cooking nothing for you guys. Y'all figure it out because I'm not going to waste the food. You know, but it's important that we be conscious of what we have. You know, because we have more than enough. We got more than enough to share what we have. We can't be hoarders. You know, I grew up in the projects. I was talking to my sister yesterday, and she was like, she just came home from work late, and she was eating some Franks and beans. I was like, Franks and beans? I said, man, that was a staple in our household growing up. Chop up the Franks and put them in the beans and cook them together. That was a staple. That was a dinner maybe 3 times in a week. But sometimes you don't appreciate the little things. You know, we get so comfortable in having. Go ahead. We're going
to
go on.
You know, I tried to sit there and not say anything, but I have to comment on that. One of the things that my spiritual growth and development has led to is helping others. And in my heart, it is something that I desire to do, that I allow to do. So, as my missionary, I go every Saturday. Number of people who do not have and that are the way that they are living. I cry every time, but I know that this is something that God has me doing, and He also has me encouraging in order for me to go to that next level that He's elevating me to. And as I encourage, I realize just what you're saying. We have an abundance of stuff that we don't even realize. There are some that are living in the parks and the city. I used to camp, and we stopped camping when COVID came in 2019, the last time I was camping. I took all of my camping gear and I took it down. I had 2 tents and mattresses, lights, the battery operated lights, and blankets, So I had a surprise load of that stuff. And I could use a tent. And I said, it's for all of you, but you have to share what God is blessing you right now. We're going to share. One young man, and he came up to me. He must have felt that. He said, we start a new ministry down here. Would you come? My church. So he went to church. So he knew who God is, and he understood. Just look around. Somebody said to me, you know, I gave out a dollar, he had a dollar. What's a dollar money? It's a dollar more than what they had. You could give them a bottle of water, you could give them some shit, something. So never, like you said, never think I love those friends and beans. Woo! Good people in jelly sandwich. I'd be strawberry jelly.
There you go.
Stacey Abrams, get a book, listen to her.
about is real. That is what is trying to elevate in this world today. So give somebody a dollar. You never know. That could be Jesus coming back down to see us, like you said.
So
history repeats itself.
So that just resonated with me. I wanna ask everybody, would you guys be interested in September? From now until September, we gather our abundance and we create and we'll take it down to the breakfast mission, different places. We gather our abundance and we go down in September and donate to the homeless, give back to the homeless, whatever we have. Outside of the Sunday breakfast to the people in different places, to the tent city, wherever it's at, you guys decide. That just resonated in my spirit because just like Sister Stacy said, I got a basement that I got a whole bunch of stuff in. Rooms that I don't even go in that's an abundance, you know, of stuff that we haven't touched in 3 years, you know, that someone else can use. Sometimes we just don't even realize we have so much that what we have someone else can use and have a need for it. Yes. You know, I was just sharing with my sister. She's in Georgia, and she works for social service. And she was just speaking about how there's a shift in the support that families are getting. They're not getting it anymore. They're losing their places. They're finding themselves not able to maintain a home. And we're going to see that even more and more. And that's why it's so important for us as a body of Christ to be independent of the world. Because if we become dependent on the world don't have no love for us. It's what you have done for me lately. You know? So we have to be independent of the world. Amen? So we're going to close here. And I know we didn't finish off. It's 7 o'clock right now. But I'm excited. I'm so excited about what God is doing here and in everybody's lives here, you know, because this ain't something I thought of. Sister Stacy just said that, and it just resonated in my spirit that it's something that we can do, being able to give back, because that's what it's about. That's what it's about. God has blessed us. Let us be a blessing to someone else, you know, and so it's an opportunity for us to give back to people who don't have as much as we might have. You know, and sometimes we think we ain't got much, but all we got to do is just look around. There's a whole lot of people that don't even have nowhere near what we got. You know, so we need to be thankful. Amen? All right. So listen, I'm going to say this. Full transparency. Pastor Rob stays in his lane. I need all the help I can get. You know, because certain things ain't my forte, you know. So as far as helping and organizing, doing the work, I can do it, you know. But as far as really setting the stage, I need some people who can help set the stage, lay the foundation. You know, I ain't worried about being at the head of nothing. I just want to be a part. Amen? Amen. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to be before you, Father God. And even as we talked about giving back to the poor, Father God, let that resonate with those out there in the audience that if they have and they want to be a part of what we're talking about doing here in September, they can be a part of it, Father God. Give us more so we can give more, Father God. And we ain't talking so we can be hoarders, Father God. We talking so we can give back into the kingdom. And we thank you in advance, Father God, for the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Father God. For we are not who we used to be, and who we are now is not who we're going to be in you. And we thank you right now in advance. In Jesus' name, let the house say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, I say all the time.